Just talk a little bit. Just say anything.
Say anything? I want you to read these notes here. And then you can get more out of that. But
okay.
This, now that was sent, by the corpsman in their engineering office. I had nothing to do with it. Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
And that'll tell you just about where we was and when we went there and so on. And I've got a book here. It'll tell you what I wasn't supposed to have. And I've also got a... when we went over the equator, I'm a shellback. You're a polywog before you go over. You know, they Truman went over too, and they christened him.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, now to get this officially going, you need to restate your name and...
My name is Floyd Stallings.
And a little bit about where you born, grew up.
I was born in Highland Park in 1920, June the 27th, 1920. Lived there until I was 13 and moved to the West End. And that's when we had the 37 flood, I remember it well. But we were in an area where there was no water. With two streets around there, there was no water. And let's see, I don't know what happened after 37.
When did you join the...
When I went in the Navy?
Yeah.
Well, it was 1943. Early 43, I don't remember the date really. And went up to Great Lakes, stayed up there for colder than heck up there. I mean, Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we liked to froze up there. And we did our thing. It was in the wintertime. And they'd take us out in marches and all that stuff, which I never did see. I didn't ever did like that much. And then I got interviewed and I went to sheet metal school for 16 weeks. I don't know what the idea was for it. Anyway, none of us that went to school got a rate out of it. We got fireman first class out of what we got. Really, we didn't get our stripes. And nobody did, none of them. They just closed the rank, you know. Well, anyway, got on a ship, went out to Treasure Island, stayed out there for a couple of days, and then we got a ship come in. I don't know where it came from, I have no idea. It's Carl C. Carrier, and we went aboard it. And from Pearl Harbor, where they picked us up at, a bunch of the crew. They took it out and practiced, shot, and all that stuff. You know how I guess you do. And then we've headed out to sea, and that tells the rest of it. We went to Wake Island, and one of our sister ships got sunk, torpedoed, and we got the hell away from her. Because it lit up the sky, you know, and it the torpedo that got them. And they operated with four carriers, and staggered them. And you can see where it's missing there.
I see you've kind of filled it in.
Yeah, I tried to. Yeah, that's. And the corpsman of the ship sent that. I didn't have nothing to do with that. But he sent it home and suggested publishing to the Courier Journal. I don't know whether I didn't do it. I don't know whether they did or not. And of course, that book and that other stuff. My granddaughter found it. I forgot where I had it. She picked it up and found it, and she got interested in it. She kept pushing me about it, asking questions. Then we'd come in and take supplies. go out again. I think we had 11 invasions. It might have been 10, I don't know. Anyway, they went to Guam, Tinian, and Saipan. They were three islands, the Marshall Islands. That's where they called the Marianas Islands worked with. They called the Marianas Shootout. Our planes shot down a bunch of airplanes and our gunners, and I was up on top deck. They had to have an engineer go up there with a gun. I didn't know nothing about guns, but I had to go up there anyway. And when them Japs come in, I knew all about that ammunition. I knew how to hand it to them. We had one Jap come in at us. He dropped his bomb, and I'd seen that thing. I didn't know whether to jump, stay there, or what to do. We all thought about it. Anyway, thought about jumping, but we stayed there. And then we could see that torpedo, aerial torpedo, come right by our fantail. Mm-hmm. And that Japanese, he went back and forth. Way we operate, we had four carriers, and they'd stagger. We'd have, say, to the right, up maybe 100 yards, and you'd be 100 yards back, and then it staggered them, you know. Well, he got in between us, and he kept going back and forth, back and forth. He was scared to go. We couldn't shoot at him, and they couldn't shoot at him, scared we'd hit them, and they'd hit it. He was, and finally he made, I guess he figured he's going, I could see him just as plain setting up there. He done did his work, and he missed. And he was thinking about getting out of there. That's what I thought he thought anyway. So he took off real fast out of the back, the rear of us. And they had a 5-inch gun back here, this gunner back here. And he had shot one time with a 5-inch gun and hit that guy. And he wouldn't do it again in 1,000 years. You ought to have seen him brag about that. Well, anyway, we run up and down at general quarters. We'd go from boiler room up to the top deck and back, and then go about 5 times a day. And finally, our planes got up above them. They flew in formation, and it wouldn't break it, and our planes just pick them off one at a time. I could see it. I was up there where I could see it, you know. And you could see them. You didn't know who was falling. But when they got back on ship, we knew that all of them come back, and we knew what. That's how we determined that. Well, and then we took on supply, then went to Kwajalein. That's where the Japanese had that island. We support air support for them, and they invaded, and we took it over. Well, we got to go ashore one time. You get one hot beer and a coconuts, all the coconuts you could eat. That's enough for me. Stayed there 2 days. Some of them went over 2 or 3 times. That good hot beer they had, some beer they had come from New York. I think it was Iron City or Circle City or something like that. You heard of that before?
Mm-hmm. Iron City.
Yeah.
I've heard of that one.
It was lousy.
Still is.
Huh? Well, then I don't remember where they went from that. We went to so many places. I guess it was, went down over the equator, pretty close to Australia, Espirito Santo, I think the name of it. And the Japs were down there. They was getting ready to invade Australia. They wouldn't cross the bay there, small bay. Well, we lent support for them, airplanes, and they went in and took it and went to Solomon's. Run them out of there. And then went to Iwo Jima, Okinawa. And after Okinawa, them pilots would come back shaking their heads, said, man, it's just like dropping the flour sack on top of it. Wasn't nothing but rocks. And they bombed it and bombed. I don't remember how many days it did, but I know they were just shaking their heads as if we're not doing any good, you know. Well, they invaded. They told them it wouldn't be nothing to it, you know. But they finally took it, and then they went to Okinawa and invaded that. We stood anti-sub patrol. We circled a fleet. Went around the fleet, and we chasing submarines away from the fleet. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think some of our planes dropped bombs on Okinawa. I'm not sure of that, but I think they did. And, well, after they secured it, you could look out over the horizon. I never seen so many ships out there. They were getting ready to go in Japan. So we were about 100 miles, I guess, off the coast of Japan, thinking all the time, well, there's going to be lots of guys going to get killed, you know. So one day, I went to Chow. Went to Chow, and I looked out, and I seen the damnedest smoke up there. I never seen such a thing. It's a bomb. I didn't know what it was. Didn't know. Because the next day or a couple days later, we had a ship paper there, and it told that Truman had dropped his bomb. Thank God for Truman. And, of course, lots of people didn't thought that was awful because they killed a bunch of them. But it would have been more killed when they invaded it. So, after that, well, they surrendered. The second one they dropped, I don't remember where was that on the second one they dropped. I didn't see it, or, you know, but we heard about it. We didn't know it, but we heard about it on the ship. You know, the captain would tell us. So then it was over. We circled around the Missouri for a while they were, me and MacArthur won that war, you know, and John Wayne. And we went to, got orders to go to Korea. And there they sent some construction people in there. They put beds on the hangar deck. Took the planes off, made beds, and we bought the soldiers back. And that's when I was telling you about it, you know, on the way back home. So we had to have 42 points to get out of the Navy. So the war was over, and if you had 42 points, you'd get out. And I had 60, because we'd had a bunch of invasions, you know. I said, I want out. I want to go home. And this officer come down, he asked me, he said, oh, you stay in here, said, you get a career. He said, we would love to have you. And I told him, I ain't going to tell you what I told him. I'm going home. Had enough of this stuff. So that's about the story.
Now what's a machinist do on?
Machinist was in the weeding. What I did in was we had a big tank in there. We had reciprocating engines. And I think it was about 5 cylinders, great big cylinders. They were, 2 foot, maybe 2.5 foot or something like that. Now this is another story. I got acquainted with some of them pilots. Well, the engineer come down and said, we need some rings. Now this was when the war was going on in the Philippines. So he said, I want you to go on one of these Bettys, the bomber, you know, the bombing airplane, that we call them Bettys. They had a number, I don't remember what the number was. And go over on the island, pick up some rings. Well, this guy Everts was the pilot. He was in Illinois, Massachusetts, yeah, Everts. Well, he and I become pretty good friends. And he'd give me a shot of whiskey every once in a while, and then the crew, you know. The pilots could bring it along, but we couldn't bring it in unless we brought it in under a sock or something. Well, anyway, he got me on that airplane and they got a catapult. I don't know whether you've ever seen them or not. These catapults, how they ship they'd shoot them planes off, like a gumbo. You've used a gumbo, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
And it like to broke my neck when it went over that thing. Man, I'm telling you, I was looking down, just keep looking down, down. I didn't want to look out. I was scared to death because I'd never been in a plane before. Well, we landed, and the lady picked up some rings. This was after they invaded the Philippines, you know. We picked up the rings, brought them back, got on the ship, and he was just dying laughing at me because he knew I was scared. He'd look back there and just, he didn't give me that hee-haw, you know. Okay, we got ready. The ship was at sea. He was cruising around out there. Getting ready to land, I looked over the side, and damn, that thing looked like a matchbox down there. We're going to land on that thing? Yep, we're going to hit it. So he went in, and that guy on the ship waved us off. You know, he was too high or too low or too wide or too something. I don't know what he was. I looked up, he was laughing all the time. I said, Lord, if you let me off this thing, I'll never get in another airplane again. And, buddy, I haven't. I haven't rode an airplane. We had a chance to get, me and my wife had a chance to go over to Hawaii, and I wouldn't go. I said, if they roll me over, I wouldn't go, no. And I haven't been on one yet. And, oh, it's, I don't know whether you've ever heard anything about these polywogs and, when you go over the equator, they have a big celebration. They put me down in the bilge with the toothpins. You know, if you know what a bilge is, that's where all the oral and spit and everything, puke and everything else. And then we put with a toothbrush to clean that thing. And when you went to chow, they tied your hands behind your back, and you couldn't eat with a knife and fork. You just had to reach over to eat. And up on deck, they put me in. Now, you've heard of this, what they're talking about, water braining, you know, what do they call
waterboarding.
It? Waterboarding. Now, we did about the same thing, really. But I didn't know at the time. They put us in a big box, wooden box, and a pad down there, and run one of them big old holes through there and put water in there. I didn't know it was running out. I was scared, really. And they run that thing in. Well, the water it didn't have no bottom in it. It run out, see? They fixed it where it would run out, but I didn't know it, see? So we waterboarded us right there, see? And they had a big colored guy on there. He was a cook. He was about 300 pounds. He sat in a chair and had to kneel down and kiss his belly, blindfolded. Then they put one of these little warmer things, you know, you wind up and put electric, I don't remember what they call it.
Generator.
Huh? Put that on your butt, man. You just, when I finally took that blindfold off and I seen that big fat guy, that colored guy sitting up there with grease all over him. I don't know, silly things like that. They tell me that they did Truman the same way, things like that. And he's got a car just like this. It's I don't know whether you ever seen one like that. When you go over the equator, they give you one. Of course, that and the $2 will buy you a beer at any place in town. And it's that's about the story.
But you never did talk about the machinist part.
Oh, machinist?
Okay.
Oh,
you
well,
got
we
to
did
the size of the cylinder.
Oh well, the ship was run by steam. Really, they had boilers in there, and they had what they call water tenders. They were called water tenders. And story, I'm going to tell you a story about that. This one water tender, I kept noticing he acted like he was drunk all the time. Well, anyway, I wandered around over behind it. He had a distill back here. He was getting that alcohol and getting that blue stuff out of it. It would make him sick, and he drank it. Well, what he made the steam, and the steam went into the engine, but and when it did its work, it come back to big tank where it went into, and it made it water. And we redone it, run it through a screen, and they reused it, see, because it had to be fresh water there. And then it go back and did its work again. And work your steam engine. And that's how them things. Evaporator, big evaporator. We made our own water. We took water out of the sea and made our own water. I don't know why they can't do that in California. They're bitching about that now. They ain't got no water out there. Well, anyway, they made the water. They took salt out of it, and we had fresh water, and drinking water, whatever we wanted, and run the steam engine. That's the way that worked. And that's it. That's all I know.
No other stories you like to tell?
Huh?
No.
Oh,
other stories?
I've got some, but you don't want to hear them.
Man, you don't know that.
No, and about Hawaii. I don't know. Have you heard of Flaming Mame? Well, it was a story about her. She run a cat house over in Hawaii. Of course, we come into Pearl Harbor one day and got one ashore. We went to Honolulu. Now, this is not good. Well, anyway, there was a line about two blocks long. I thought they were giving away something. So me and this Roy Coulson, he and I went ashore, went over there. We got in this line, and finally some guy come out. It was a line to go in a whorehouse. Well, I asked this guy that come out there, I said, how many girls they got in there? He said, four. Four? For two blocks of men in there? I said, come on, Roy, let's go down and get some Cuba Libres. That's the closest that I ever come to something like it. Well, but the year we went out again, I don't remember where we went out one of them islands we hit, and come back in, and they closed her up. And there was lots of rape going on in that island around there, which is a bad thing, I thought, really, of closing it up. And they finally broke her where the story went. They made a movie about it. What's that red-headed movie actor? She played the part.
Something to drink. You didn't have a Sprite or this?
I drink that water.
That's what I figured. Okay.
This pure water.
Right out of the river.
Did you get it out of Kentucky River?
Yeah, it's cleaner than the Ohio. I didn't
mean to get that. You got that right. It's not as cold, though.
I know it wasn't. I just want to take your picture. I'm not going to bother you.
I'm through. We're through, I think.
Oh, sure we're not.
Lord, I've talked and talked now. I've told all kinds of lies.
Well, if you don't want to talk about anything else, what about coming home?
Oh, okay, coming home. All right. We come in San Francisco, I believe it was, either San Diego. I got on a train and went to Las Vegas. I was eager for gambling. Back in those days, hey, that's when Bugs Malone and all them, Dillinger and all that bunch around, and that was before Dillinger, I guess, but anyway, they just set up Las Vegas. And I played some cards, and I won $500. I cashed it. They had them silver dollars. You play with silver dollars then. He cashed it in, got paper money, and then, boy, I said, I'm going to get out of this place. I'd look behind me all the way to see if somebody was following me. Some of them criminals was following me. Well, I come on home and caught the train again and went up Great Lakes and stayed up there for, I think it was 2 days. And listened to one of them admirals give us a big line. And come home. That was it. This book here, if you can read it, there's a ship right there. I logged this, and you wasn't supposed to do that. But I'm the type that breaks laws. Can you read it?
Perfectly well.
I can't. I write like a doctor. Three or four pages on there. Oh, here's a letter that Forrestal sent me. He was the Secretary of Navy at the time. He appreciated me and John Wayne and MacArthur. I think they give us $200 when we get out. Of course.
Made more in Vegas.
Huh?
You made more in Vegas.
Yeah, you better believe it. They didn't know it, though. That's not recorded, is it? Uncle Sam would be getting after me now, wouldn't he?
So were you married before the war?
Yeah, I was married before the war. We got a divorce when 50 when I come back. I went to work at Reynolds Metal in tool and die maker. Worked there for 20 years. Get a big pension, $100 a month. And like I told you out there, I went to Anaconda and closed them up. They closed up. I served apprenticeship at Reynolds in the tool and die shop. Made a few dies when I was there. And I worked as a machinist. That's what I did when I was in the Navy, machinist. Oh, I didn't tell you about the storm, did it, in the Philippines?
No, the storm. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. I might have forgot. Where was that at?
Philippines. They call them typhoons out there. They don't call them what we call a hurricane here. Well, we run into that thing, and the ship had two boiler rooms, two machine rooms where the pistons were, and where I was at. Well, the starboard. You know, ships call a port and a star, you know, starboard side. It dipped water. It went over far enough, it dipped water down in the smokestack where the smoke come out. Yeah, and it put the boiler out. Mm-hmm. We went through it. We fought that thing for three days. I was in the forward, in the port side. I was where I was at, but I was back and forth then for 3 days. We didn't get no sleep or no food or nothing because we had an apple thing. And when we'd go in the engine room, we had to tie a rope around us and tie it to one of them steam pipes. And you couldn't lay down because it'd throw you out of your bunk. You couldn't sleep. We didn't sleep for 3 days. Fun. That's fun. And, well, I don't remember if that was after they invaded or before. I don't remember, but I remember that 3 days. So that's about it, I guess. I was scared. And if we'd lost that other engine room, well, we'd went down. When we invaded the Philippines, we lost another sister ship there, and they were chasing. We went through them channels over there, and the Fifth Fleet was chasing the Japs, and we were right in front of the Japs. They were chasing us. We got the hell out of there, I tell you. We launched the planes and fought back with them, but they would come out in the paper the next day, our paper, where we. How we beat them and all that stuff, but we were running. We had a little propaganda, I think, you know. Yeah, them birds were right on our tail coming out. The Philippines are full of little islands, twisted islands, you know. Oh, yeah, and when we first went in there, went to Lady, we anchored there after they invaded and took it over. Well, they were still fighting up at northern part of Philippines, but we went in there to, I don't know why, but we did anyway. Went ashore, and you could take a mattress, cover was, our bunk was all about 2 foot wide, something like that, and the mattress cover went over top of whatever you call it, underneath it, anyway. And what we'd do, we'd take it over. You'd get anything they had in that island. All kinds of shoes. They made things, the different, you know, paper shoes, and tried to sell it to the GIs. But we'd take that mattress cover over. They'd cut a hole in the top of it and make a dress out of it. They didn't have any clothes when them Japs went in there. They took everything away from them. They printed their own money. I got some Japanese money on them. You want some of it? Well, it was not worth it there. They printed their own money, see. And when they invaded these islands. And, well, we went out. I don't remember where we went after that. We went and went another island invaded and come back. And everything they had for sale was $10. It'd be a pipe or smoke or whatever it was, a pack of cigarettes, whatever you, anything. $10. See, they learned fast. You still could get something for your, you know, your mattress or your sheet or whatever they call them. I guess mine's still up to Great Lakes. And I don't know what lots of stuff went on that I can't think of. Is that good enough?
That's good enough. If you feel like you're done.
I'm done. Yeah, I mean, things that I could probably, when I get out there, I can think of them. Here's a picture of the guy that I was in. She said to bring it. I don't know why, but they must have told her to. These are pictures of when we were in boots. Oh. And see, I got them numbered.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back, you look on there, you see who they are. And I don't believe it was the one of them. It was in boots up in Wisconsin where we was at, Green Bay. I don't think I went aboard ship with any of them. Every one of them went a different way, you know. Some of them went direct to sea. Some of them, like I, went to school for 16 weeks. I got to stay home. I guess they's getting my ship ready for me or something.
That's why.
And here's another one. I don't know what that, I think it's the same one.
That's you?
That's me. A little different there now, ain't it?
Hey, you look about 10 years old.
That's when I knew everything. That was really smart there. You know how we are when we get that age. When I got to be about 28, I was surprised how much my mother and dad learned. Don't you think so? Didn't you do that or not?
Oh, yeah.
I guess we all go through that stuff. Yeah, I got laid off rental. I went to barber college. I get a barber's license. On the GI Bill, see, when I got laid off rental, they closed up and I went to barber college.
Did you barber for a while?
I did for 3 months. And I got called back at rentals. I had to waive it. Barber, you'll always have money. You'll always work. But you get no vacation, no time off or nothing, no pensions or nothing like that. So I want to go back and get my hands dirty. So I went back with my tools, which I'm glad I did. Yeah, we're off recording, aren't we? Or not?